Hello and welcome to another episode of Opa Ghost. I'm Heaven.
And I'm Jonathan.
So, real quick at the top of this episode, I just need to let the audience know that while I was editing the last episode, Haunted Cemeteries, a joke that we made 15 episodes earlier in the Haunted Road Trip Salem episode finally clicked in my brain.
Oh.
That whole entire episode, Jonathan and I are laughing our bungholes off.
That's true. We were. I still am, in fact.
Because of the haunted bar, Bunghole Liquors. And I was only laughing because the word bunghole is just funny to me.
Liquor part went right past you.
Right over my head. It took me listening to us nonchalantly mention it last episode for my brain to go, oh my God, it sounds like you're talking about licking bungholes.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
So for anybody who feels the same as that one rude guy who left us a negative review and said that I just pretend not to know things, no girl, the light bulb just doesn't come on most of the time.
It's on, it's a little dim sometimes, it flickers other times. It's usually on pretty good, but
On to paranormal news.
yay.
This is another one that I found through the UK-based news site, The Mirror. So a couple named Mandy and Donald Corn.
You mean corn is in like CRN?
Yeah, that's their last name, Corn.
Oh,
Corn Squatch.
that's unfortunate.
They purchased a house for the sole purpose of flipping it and making some money. And Mandy said she kind of felt some bad energy in the house, and she took some pictures of different parts of the house and is certain that she caught something in those pictures.
Oh, goodness, let me see it.
These pictures were taken in 2017, and she just shared them with the world this past February because she says that they've bothered her ever since, and she regrets even ever having seen them herself. So, yes, please share them with the public when you're scared of them.
This thing terrified and haunts my dreams, but here you go.
You have to feel, it's like when you smell something really bad and you're like, hey guys, smell this thing.
Hey, come smell this.
It's of like when somebody watches the Ring video in the movie and then is like, I gotta show this to all my friends and have this terrible demise with my bestie.
Right.
A lot of people who saw the online photos have agreed that they kind of get a panicked feeling when they look at the images. Mandy speculates that the spirit residing in the home is angry at them for buying their house just to flip it for a quick buck.
Right.
Which kind of makes sense to me with how much we hear that ghosts really do not like it when you make changes to their homes.
A lot of times it seems that when you can tell there's something going on, but it's pretty tame, and then you start remodeling and the activity ramps up. So
Yeah.
I think that's probably more to it, to the activity ramping up because they were doing remodeling than the fact that they were going to flip it.
Right, that they probably could care less that you're gonna sell it to someone else.
Right. Oh no, another person's going to live here.
So the pictures which I'm about to show you all have these strange dark masses in them in different locations of the picture. Like it's not like there was
Okay.
a spot on the camera and it stayed in one spot. Donald initially thought it had to be something wrong with the camera on Mandy's phone, but then there were other pictures taken at the same time that were perfectly fine. So I'm going to show you the pictures and you can tell me what your thoughts are. Is it paranormal? Is it a strange, inconsistent camera glitch?
Oh, there's a dark smudge. I can see it. It's clear as day. I mean, there's a funky dark spot there.
And then there'll be another picture where it's the same spot, but there's nothing there. Like the same exact location in the house. Then this one.
I mean, there's a lot of lights going on in there, but the thing is, it's like washed out the blade on the ceiling fan.
But how did the pictures make you feel? Do you feel like you're going to die in 7 days?
Nope, I'm just looking at pictures with black blotches on them.
What if I zoom in really far? Does it make you more scared?
No, I'm just seeing the corner. So zoom in a little bit. See the door in the background? There's like a blotch on the door, too. See the
Oh,
black
that's
spot on the
weird.
door?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what that could be.
So I don't know.
Interessante. Fix that hole in the floor before someone falls through.
I'm sure they did. So you don't feel haunted now?
No, I don't. But you know how I feel about these things. Apparently, I'm only afraid of shadow people and children and stinky feet. Although I'm not afraid of shadow people. Stinky feet, probably.
I was just blabbering to blab. And no one's gonna know what you're talking about because I'm gonna cut all that out anyway.
They're gonna
I mean, I sung you a poop song. I'm not keeping that
cut all that out. Join our Patreon and listen to the
in.
poop song.
That's the point when I regretted when I realized you heard me singing to you. I was like, oh no, I forgot that he had headphones on.
No, I don't feel anything from those. They just look like pictures, you know?
But it is interesting that you get them in some spots and not in others. So who knows? Send us your weird pictures. Obagos@gmail.com.
Please and thank you.
So, Jonathan, tell the people what we're doing today.
We're taking another Opa Ghost road trip.
Woo-woo, pack up the Opa Ghost van.
Packing up the Opa Ghost van, and we're headed off to lovely Galveston, Texas.
Yeah, haunted AF.
Very haunted AF. It's been called a cemetery with a beach attached.
Galveston is located off the southeast Texas coast. I didn't know it was an island until I really started researching it. And the island that is now Galveston, of course, was originally inhabited by native tribes. Then later on in 1817, they had some pirates that came and built up a little colony. And then those same pirates later burned it to the ground. The city of Galveston was founded in 1838, and they were a booming town for those first 60 years. They were the second richest city in the U.S., nicknamed Wall Street of the South.
Wow.
Texas's first bank and first post office were both located in Galveston, which seems inconvenient to have your first bank and post office on an island.
And not more in the heart of the state.
They also had one of the largest ports. It was second to Ellis Island for immigration.
Wow.
Galveston was really taking off until the Great Storm of 1900, known as the deadliest natural disaster in U.S. history. On September 8th, a hurricane hit Galveston. Not very many people had even made it to evacuate before the bridges collapsed, and the estimated death toll is over 6,000. Obviously, back then, there was very little in way of storm monitoring and pre-warnings like we have now.
Right.
So they didn't really have an idea of what was about to hit them. There was a man named Isaac Klein who was a local forecast official, and he wrote up this special report on the experience in the aftermath, and he describes like way that the clouds were. It was very, very detailed. He said none of the normal weather patterns that they would normally see before a hurricane were spotted, so they didn't really think anything crazy was going to happen.
Interesting that they just kind of came out of the blue.
Yeah, I'll put a link up to his big long thing if anybody wants to read it. It was neat. It was a lot of information. At one point, he noted that the tide was over 20 feet.
Wow.
I don't know what a normal tide is for a hurricane, but that sounds really big.
Yeah, I mean, that's 20 feet of water.
Yeah. Entire houses were being moved around. There were around 50 people in his own house that were there for shelter, and only 18 of them made it out alive.
Wow.
His own wife was one of the many that lost their lives. He himself was pulled down into the water, clinging to one of his children, and they drifted for 3 hours, landing 300 yards from where they started. At that time, the damage to Galveston County was estimated at $30 million. The insurance inspector stated that in total, there were 3,636 houses that were totally destroyed, and the value of those buildings alone was estimated at $5.5 million in damage.
And that's in their time.
Yeah, that's in their time. I did not look it up, but I'm sure $30 million in their time is billions and billions.
30 million in 1900 would be 298,600,000 today.
Wow. So just like with New Orleans, that leaves a lot of dark tragedy behind. It's
Oh,
no wonder
yeah.
that Galveston is one of the most haunted places in Texas.
So, I'm actually doing two places. The first place I'm doing shocked the hell out of me.
Really?
Yes, I'll tell you why. I'm going through Galveston stuff trying to find something I can do. And I started reading about this one, and I was like, my God, I swear I have taken notes on this place already. And I've looked everywhere for the notes. Everything I was reading is like, yep, I knew this. I watched the video. It's like, yep, I've already seen this. What is going on here?
That's weird that you can't find them.
I swear that I had either read all this stuff and watched it all. Maybe I didn't actually take the notes, but I was like, none of this is new. So what's going on here? And I think that This is the train station I was telling you about in the last episode.
Stop it, Jonathan. You're lying.
Jonathan's Train Depot the Galveston Railroad Museum.
It all circles back. I'm calling this episode Jonathan's Train Depot. Too bad for a haunted road trip.
The real Jonathan's Train Depot. Wow.
Well, you know what? We got it sooner than I thought we would.
Yeah, and after I got it all done, I was like, I really should have done something different because we just did a train station like two ago.
Yeah, but you're doing two locations, so who cares?
This is true. This is true. And it's a neat place. So, and it's Galveston.
I'm so excited now. Is this what your surprise was for me?
Yeah, this is what I was telling you I was going to tell you, and then I decided I'd hang on to it till now.
I'm so excited.
Welcome to Jonathan's Train Depot, better known as the Galveston Railroad Museum.
Okay.
According to their website, the Galveston Railroad Museum opened to the public in 1983, but the museum traces its roots back as far as 1896, when the depot was the headquarters for the Gulf, Colorado, and Santa Fe Railroads.
Before the storm.
Yes, definitely before the storm. The depot and the facility grew with the railroad, and by 1932, the company built what is the current Art Deco building. It's an 11-story tower in the center and two 8-story towers on each side. The south side, the 8-story structure on that side, was built in like 1913, and then in 32, they built the center tower and the 8-story north tower. Santa Fe ends up leaving Galveston in 1972, and the building ends up sitting vacant for several years. Eventually, a lady named Mary Moody Northern sponsors a refurbishment for the building with community support, and they establish this railroad museum. In 2008, Hurricane Ike comes through and destroys a lot of their collection. There was 10 foot of seawater.
That sucks.
Yeah, destroyed a whole bunch of stuff. They have a ton of railroad cars and engines, steam engines, diesel engines at the museum. And some of those were destroyed. And some of them they still have them on the property. They just kind of sit there and they look like they're rotted.
Right.
They have 40 what they call rolling stock, which I think refers to all the train cars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A huge collection of dining car china and stuff like that. But anyway, today, again, it's a museum, kind of throws back to the 1930s, a lot of it. There's some, you know, some of the more modern stuff too. But one of the things they have in the museum is these plaster statues of people as if they were in the train station back in the day.
I don't like that.
You seriously are looking in the museum and there's a bench there where you can have a seat. And at the end of the bench, there's a plaster statue of a guy sitting there. And the statue is all white. They're not painted or anything, but they're wearing like the 1930s clothes, and they're everywhere around, at least in the few pictures I've seen. They are everywhere. So like walking through there at night in the dark would be a strange experience.
It would kind of give you a heightened creepy feeling. You're already looking for these ghosts, but now you think there's like shadowy people around you. I don't like that.
These like whitish figures that are, you know, in the dark, you know, playing tricks on your eyes. I swear that one moved kind of stuff, you know.
I don't like that. There's so many of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like this crowd of people, like there's a guy sitting here drinking a Coke and this guy's just standing there. He's got his hat on. There's a guy over there reading a newspaper.
Jonathan, I hate this.
Guys on the bench and they're everywhere in there. So anyway, they've got these statues all over the place. But in terms of the ghosts, the real ghosts, there's two that are pretty famous. And the first one, probably the most famous one, is the ghost of William Watson.
Okay.
There are a couple of different versions of the story. The basic story is that William Watson was a 32-year-old engineer from New York who had arrived at Galveston on the steamship Michigan.
Okay.
Some say that he was a thrill seeker who would regularly perform tricks by the train to entertain the travelers. Other people think he was just a guy that was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Ooh.
Unanticipated accident.
What do you think?
I'm not sure. There are some similarities in the two. I found two stories, three stories really, but the two of them were pretty much the exact same story. So I'll tell you the first one.
Okay.
If you buy into the whole Watson was a daredevil claim, the story is that he used to practice handstands on the train's cow catcher. It was a reckless thing to be doing, but he had done it before, was doing this in front of some of the travelers, and ends up falling.
Mm.
When he falls, of course, he goes under the train. slips too quickly under the train to scream for help, was unable to save himself, and was immediately decapitated.
Oh, wow.
Spectators, shocked and horrified as Watson flails against the tracks. They discover his head a quarter mile from the site from the accident, still wearing his derby hat.
Oh my gosh. That's weird. How does it not come off? Did you glue it to your head like a Matilda? Like, what is happening here?
Yeah. Quarter mile from the site, they find his head still in his hat. This is September 1st, 1900. It's just days before the Great Galveston Storm. Another version of the story reported on the YouTube channel, I think it's called Chron, C-H-R-O-N, claims that also on September 1st, Watson headed out on the town for a little Friday night revelry, 90 minutes after a man matching his description was seen walking towards the wharf. The foreman for engine number 765 sees a body laying across the tracks. Unable to stop the train in time to avoid hitting the corpse, ends up launching it more than 10 feet.
Oh.
The story claims that Watson's own shipmates were unable to identify him until his head rolled out of the wheels of another train more than a mile and a half away. And again, he was still wearing his hat.
This is the most morbid train depot I think you could have found. That poor man. That poor headless man.
I mean, I want to know where he buys his hats.
You have told a few decapitation ghost stories.
I don't choose them for that reason. They just end up being that way.
Wow, that's a really intense story. And maybe I don't understand the hat thing.
I don't either.
It could just be some lore.
Yeah, it's local lore and local legend. So as they've kind of juiced the story up a little bit, now he's wearing his hat.
So now I'm intrigued to hear about his ghost, because is his ghost just a head with a hat?
The headless ghost of, or just a floating head wearing a hat, which is it?
Yeah.
Nearly headless Nick, or I mean nearly headless
nearly
William.
Headless William.
There's a little bit of the similarities between the stories. One of them says he's doing this daredevil act and falls and gets killed. And another one says that the train couldn't stop in time to avoid hitting the corpse. That's their words. So that means he was dead and laying across the tracks.
Like he'd been murdered or had fallen or something.
Yeah, he had already been decapitated by a train because his head fell out of the wheels of a train down the tracks.
So what you're saying is a train could have hit him, decapitated him, and then another train came along and hit his body.
Yes, that's the second story.
Gosh, wow.
I'm not entirely sure. You know, I should have probably took a deep dive to try to find, you know, which version of this is more accurate.
Too bad he wasn't a hat salesman.
Yeah, right? That our hats are so good, you can be decapitated and it won't come off.
We're awful.
Sorry, William.
Yeah, don't haunt me, Billy.
So, William's ghost is believed to haunt the museum. He is the resident poltergeist known for stomping around and knocking things off counters. Employees at the museum blame him for strange noises. They allege that he misplaces objects, which is common with poltergeists. Things disappear. One source asks, and I quote, "Is Watson a headless specter still searching for his scalp, or is he a mischievous apparition entertaining travelers with his tricks?"
I prefer the second one.
I mean, the second story is better. The thing about the stuff going missing.
No, I just mean I don't want to think about him still looking for his head. Like, you can't. It's like the guy from Ghosts. How are you going to find a head without your eyes?
That's true. The guy that walks around from time to time, you see him walk. We haven't seen him in a while, by the way.
He wasn't in the well with Flower.
This is true. He was not in the well with Flower.
Also, just the thought of them wandering through the dirt makes me laugh so much.
Yeah.
Like, who knows how many ghosts are out there under the dirt just wandering around?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So another popular ghost is the woman at the windowsill.
Oh, okay.
So the story claims that there's a woman who committed suicide by going out a fourth floor window. The woman met her untimely end, according to one source, in the early 1980s, propelling herself out of the bathroom of an office. At the time, according to the story, the office had been reserved for psychiatric patients. But there's really not a lot else to say because nobody ever says more than that.
Right.
One source said there are a few accounts of the tragedy, but I don't know where those few accounts are. I scoured the internet. I was unable to find anything. But according to visitors, they witness her roaming the restroom or running nervously through the halls. Some visitors have even seen her sitting on the windowsill with her legs dangling loosely off the edge of the fourth floor.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
That'd be a weird thing to see.
I have a Reddit story.
Okay.
The user's name is Waggy with like 11 G's, W-A-11-G-Y. Someone was talking about a ghost train. Some of the trains there are old, you know, from the 30s, dining cars and passenger cars that are in rough shape, either because they're awaiting restoration or they were damaged in one of the hurricanes. And this person replies that a better ghost train at the Galveston Railroad Museum would be the Robert E. Lee, which is also damaged and in pretty rough shape, presumably again because of hurricane damage. Multiple children that go to the museum see the same thing, a black man walking through the train with a pocket watch.
Oh.
Eerie, since no one has really been in that car since it was ruined.
Multiple people see it, so.
Multiple children, they say.
Yeah. I wonder why only children.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, children are better at seeing these things than adults, you know. They also do like a spooky ghost train thing.
That'd be really fun. I wish we had something like that here.
The last place I have for you. I was excited because I found Jonathan's Train Depot.
I love Jonathan's Train Depot. It's a very dark and sad place. Both the ghosts there are really depressing.
That's one of those places that, for simply because of the stories attached to it, I'd like to be able to go there to try to validate some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't suppose there's plaques on the wall for William and the suicide girl, but you could find out, did this place used to be in the 80s? There's plenty of people still alive. Did they used to have psychiatric patients here? Okay, well, that's at least some validation for what's going on.
But you should ask your friend who lives there if he's ever been there.
I should ask Robbie about that.
Yeah. Let us know, Robbie. opaghost@gmail.com.
@gmail.com, or just hit my DMs. The other place I'm excited about, because I know you're going to be excited about it.
Okay.
It is the Seawall Walmart.
I was hoping you did this. My friend Madeline lives in Texas, and I had put something up on the Instagram story, like, tell us your most haunted place in your state or whatever. And she had said the Walmart. And I was like, what?
Did she have stories?
No, she didn't have any stories. But I said, that's the second place I've heard of that was haunted and now has a Walmart bill on top of it. Because I think we've done a place before in one of our other episodes.
The sister building to Trans-Allegheny.
Yeah.
The Seawall Walmart sits on the former site of St. Mary's Orphan Asylum that was destroyed by the 1900 hurricane. The hurricane ends up killing, at the orphanage anyway, 98 children and 10 nuns, which is a lot of children. Not as many nuns, but still a lot of people nonetheless. The story goes that they would tie 10 children to a nun, you know, so that they wouldn't, you know, lose the children. They had them tied to everyone.
During the hurricane, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just for funsies.
Yeah, right. The habits that the nuns wore were made of wool, and they end up in the water, of course.
Oh, no.
They become so soaked and so heavy that really they never stood a chance.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, they end up all drowning. There are only three boys end up surviving because they were able to get loose and climb into a tree.
Yeah, so if they weren't tied to the nuns, they could have maybe survived.
It's possible, yeah. Any of them that could swim had at least a shot.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they spent a long time in the tree, like, you know, 5 hours or so.
Yeah, I mean, that guy I told you about just waded around in the water for 3 hours. That's a long time to just be in the water.
Yeah. When I was looking at stuff, I saw story after story after story of people on like the fourth floor or the third floor just pulling bodies into the building and pulling people in through the windows, you know, that were either deceased, and they would have two piles. They would have the dead over here, the injured over there.
Yeah.
It was insane. But anyway, employees at the Walmart, they say that the children's ghosts play with the toys in the store.
That is creepy.
Yeah, I'm sure they do other things other than just the toy aisle. But They report hearing children crying and laughing when there's no children in the building. One young girl has been heard crying out for her mother. The cash registers supposedly just go crazy from time to time, which, let's be honest, it's a Walmart.
Right.
The front doors, the, you know, the sensors,
mm-hmm.
open and close when no one's around them.
Oh.
Numerous accounts of there being things out of place on the shelves, and not just out in the store, but like back in the office. You know, you can say things are out of place on the shelves in the store because customers pick stuff up, put stuff down all the time. But the customers aren't in the office at the back of the store.
Right.
So this YouTube channel called The Most Epic Adventures with Rob Zip goes to the store, not because it's haunted, but because he wanted to get a couple of things and found out that it was haunted. And so he whips out his iPhone and he starts recording. His mom is with him. None of the employees would talk with him on camera, of course, but one of the employees told Rob's mother a story, which she then relates back to the cameras. And according to that employee, he or she was standing at the end of an aisle in the sporting goods section when three quarters of the way down the aisle in the opposite direction of where they were, six or eight of those Ozark Trail brand camping hatchets that are on like a blister card came flying off the shelf.
That's not good. Hatchets should not fly.
Right. Not just falling, you know, straight down and bouncing into the aisle, but flying out into the middle of the aisle.
That's an aggressive Walmart ghost.
Yeah. 100%.
Of all things in the Walmart you're going to throw at me is a hatchet? Come on now.
The way those things are packaged, you're going to get hurt more because a heavy object hit you.
Right, but like you can't throw a bag of marshmallows at me or like some cookies?
Well, yeah.
Some Werther's.
Both the things that happened in the same area. They're over in the sporting goods section.
Huh.
You know how Walmart is? The top of the shelf is usually
excess.
Yeah, and in this case, there's these 5 or 7 gallon jugs that you take water with you when you go camping so you can bring your own water.
Okay.
And the whole top shelf is just loaded up with these things. Even while he was standing in that aisle talking about this and talking about the hatchets, you could see these things on the top shelf, on the top of the racks. And in another instance, that same employee watched these jugs just fly down off that top shelf into the aisle.
Wow. Same employee. Huh.
So there were other people that would say that, yeah, it's haunted, but they wouldn't talk about anything.
Right. People get weird when you put a camera in their face, you know?
Yeah. You put a camera in their face at work and then they're going to be on YouTube and they have to explain to the Walmart why they're
weird ghost people.
Why they're telling ghost stories about the place where they work.
Come to Green Audi. I'll tell you all about our bathroom ghosts anytime you want.
Yeah, anytime you want to tell you all about. Show you the bathroom.
Buy an Audi while you're there.
Yeah. That's my Galveston story. The Railroad Museum and the Seawall Walmart.
Wow. I've heard about the Walmart. I was hoping you would do it. I was excited because I thought that sounds like something Jonathan might cover. So I had my hopes up because my story kind of, one of mine ties into yours.
Not to the Walmart, obviously.
Yes, to the Walmart.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I thought you didn't do the Walmart.
I didn't do the Walmart. But I have a ghost who is connected to your story.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about a couple of haunted hotels in Galveston. The first one is called the Galvez. It is on Seawall Boulevard, same as your Walmart.
Oh, just down the street.
The same location where the Galvez stands was once the property where the Beach Hotel, the Electric Pavilion, and the Pagoda Bathhouse were located. The hotel was built in 1911, so 11 years after the hurricane. One of the main ghosts that call the Galvez home is known as the Lovelorn Lady.
The Lovelorn Lady. That's a good name for a ghost.
Yeah.
It's better than the Gray Lady.
Yeah. The Lady in White. She resides on the 5th floor of the hotel. Legend has it that a 25-year-old woman by the name of Audra was staying at the hotel while her fiancé was away at sea. Sometime during the 1950s. What?
Away at sea. And what we really mean is away at Gulf of Mexico.
No, he was at sea.
I'm sure they call it a sea. I'm just being facetious.
Her room was number 501, but she spent a lot of her time up on the 8th floor because they had these rooftop turrets with ladders. And you could climb up the ladders and just like see out to sea up on these turrets.
See out to Gulf.
Yes. So she would sit up there and look out, waiting to see her fiance's ship returning.
I mean, I can see her doing that, you know. She's anxious to see your man come home, and so she's keeping a watchful eye. Yeah. Plus, it's probably a nice view.
You didn't have much to do back in the 50s, but wait for men.
This was the 50s.
Yes, 1950s. I said that earlier, but you were laughing about the Gulf.
I almost spit my tea out because...
So then she heard news that there had been a really terrible storm and the ship was sunk and everyone on board was lost at sea. I didn't realize how many times I had typed at sea in this until you said something. Everyone on board was lost and she was distraught and she hung herself in her room.
Oh no.
And then a few days later, her husband arrived at the hotel looking for her.
Oh, so was the ship lost?
It was, but he had survived.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it comes as no surprise that room 501 is the most haunted room in the hotel. Signs that you are being paid a visit by the lovelorn lady include a very cold breeze, the sounds of doors slamming, your televisions and your lights turning off and on entirely on their own. The front desk employees even report that they have a lot of problems with making the key cards for room 501.
Really? I guess it's probably a popular room, so...
Yeah, I read an article from someone who went there to specifically stay in room 501. Housekeepers have seen lights coming from under the door, like someone's in there, and then the room is supposed to be vacant, so they open it up and there's no lights on or anything. They don't know where the light was coming from. Audra will also visit the turret from time to time, and witnesses have reported seeing strange lights up there. Another ghost at the Galvez Hotel is that of the nun, Sister Catherine. She is related to the haunted Walmart.
I was going to say, is she from down the street at the Walmart?
Yep. She was, of course, a sister at the orphanage. So like you said, they used stuff to make pieces of rope and tie the kids to them. The thing about them all not making it is that after the bodies were found, after the storm, they were buried right where they were found.
Really?
They didn't take them to a cemetery. It's just wherever you were found, that's where you were buried.
They just dug a hole right there and rolled you in it.
So according to legend, the bodies of this sister and all of the children that she had tied to her are laying beneath the Galvez still.
Oh. I'm a little surprised that that's what they did.
Maybe it was just because there were so many people.
I mean, I was going to say, there were just so many people that died in that storm.
Yeah,
that
you'd fill up a whole cemetery.
The line at the funeral home would have been unbelievable.
So honestly, the whole island probably has bodies buried everywhere.
One of the first things I found when I was looking at Galveston was that it's often called a graveyard with a beach.
Yeah, that makes me think it's definitely very haunted. Visitors claim to see apparitions of a nun, and they sometimes see a nun with children around her.
Wow.
I have a picture to show you that was taken during an investigation on the fifth floor. It is from GalvestonGhost.com, and they went and did their own investigation and caught this in 2005 while the hotel was doing some renovations.
And we'll put this on the gram so you can see it.
Definitely.
All right, so what am I looking at here?
The shadowy figure down the hall.
On the right side there?
It kind of looks like a, what do you call what a nun wears on their head?
A habit?
Yeah, doesn't it kind of look like it has that, like, shape of like something coming down over the head?
Yeah, and then there's that white, like under the head there's the white area, so it does kind of look like it could be a nun.
Yeah, it kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy. That's interesting.
If you saw that and then you were like staying on that floor, I think it looks really creepy.
It does. It looks very, it's a very interesting photo.
Another ghost that resides at the Galvez is that of a little girl. She wears a 1900s era dress and is often seen bouncing a ball. She likes to hang out all over the hotel, in the lobby, the gift shop, the staircase, all over. During the renovations in the early 2000s, some construction workers that were working on renovating the basement into a spa complained to the staff members that a little girl was playing in the basement and they were afraid she was going to get hurt. But of course, there was no little girl staying there at the time, and they couldn't find her again. Guests and staff also often report the sounds of children running and laughing all through the halls at night. Sometimes they play the piano in the lobby or they knock over drink trays. They attribute all of that to the mischievous children under the care of Sister Catherine. I have a Reddit story about the Galvas from a user named Schwab Schwab.
Schwab Schwab! What's with these names?
He says, back in December, I stayed at the Hotel Galvez off the seawall. The hotel is lovely, but is notorious for being haunted, something I didn't realize till we stayed there. When I stayed there, we were on the third floor. Our room was situated near the elevators, which weren't a big deal because there weren't many people there because it was off season. Well, at 4 a.m., I was woken up by the sound of the elevator opening and closing. I didn't think much of it until I heard it again and again. I laid in bed listening to the elevator open and shut, dinging and banging. This went on for a good 10 minutes of me just listening. I finally got the courage to get up and look out the peephole. I saw the elevator opening and closing by itself, no one there. I then got the courage to leave my room and investigate. I walked out and saw no one there but the button being firmly held down on the outside. The elevator then closed and went up to the fifth floor, the haunted one. And then came back. This whole process kept going on for hours until maintenance arrived. They looked at everything and saw nothing wrong. They said the elevator button was new, so it shouldn't be stuck. So the only thing that makes sense to me was some ghosts decided to ruin our getaway. I ended up filming the ordeal, and it's creepy for sure. But Hotel Galvez is a lovely hotel, and I would still recommend staying, even with the ghosts. I'm going to show you the video he took.
Oh, you got a video on Reddit. Awesome. Oh, so this is literally right outside his door.
Yeah.
Like the door starts to shut and then instantly goes back.
It's like somebody's standing there.
Yeah.
You know how when you like push on the door?
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
You can see it there. It looks like they're trying to go down or something.
How weird is that? Obviously, I don't know if that's ghosts, but it's very strange for the maintenance people to come and be like, yeah, we don't know what's going on here.
Right. I mean, I don't want to shit on your ghost parade, you know me.
Yeah, I know. You'll start going on about
capacitors.
Capacitors. The elevator's capacitor is clearly malfunctioning.
But, you know, if that was happening in the Hampton, you'd be like, oh, the elevator's jacked up because some...
Jonathan, do you know me at all? If that was happening in the Hampton, I'd say this Hampton is haunted.
I would be like, oh, no, the elevator's messed up. Now we got to take the stairs. But if it's a haunted hotel, you're like, oh, it's ghosts.
So I will link that thing if you guys want to watch it. I think the elevator's clearly haunted. Jonathan thinks it's a malfunctioning capacitor.
I don't think it's a malfunctioning capacitor, but I think something's messed up.
But it went to the fifth floor, Jonathan. The haunted
floor.
Yeah, I
understand that, heaven.
But do you fully get it? Do you understand the lovelorn lady?
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, 6 miles away on Ship Mechanics Boulevard, it's another haunted hotel called the Tremont House. It's located in the historic district, and it is named after two other previous Tremont House hotels, all located in different locations. Its building is not that old. It was built in the mid-1980s, but as we've already stated, the island itself has been through a lot. There is a Civil War soldier that is said to haunt the first floor lobby, the bar, the dining area, and some of the offices. He's normally seen and heard marching back and forth down the length of the hallway where the lobby and the elevators are. People often hear the sound of his boots on the marble floor, but when they look up, there's no one there.
No one there. Residual.
There is another ghost that they call Lucky Man Sam.
That's an interesting name.
He was a traveling salesman. He had a bit of a limp leg that caused him to kind of drag his foot a little bit. And he had been out gambling one night and had a really good night. And he returned to his room on the fourth floor with all the money he had won. And at some point that night, someone snuck in and murdered him and took all of his money. So he was lucky and then he was unlucky.
Yeah, see, lucky is, that's not lucky.
No, but he had had a lucky night at first.
Yeah, I mean, he was lucky for a couple of hours once.
Yeah. Short-lived Lucky Man Sam. People report hearing sounds like a commotion, And then, like, someone bangs on the door. They also hear things that sound like a 1 foot stomp followed by a dragging sound.
Oh, that's just the worst. Stomp, drag, stomp, drag.
That would be unsettling for sure.
That would be insane.
Storms apparently bring a lot of other activity to the hotel. Anytime a storm is happening, the third and fourth floors have an uptick in activity. They hear a lot of knocking. They have ceiling fans that turn themselves off and on. And during the storms, they also get shadow figures and ghostly moans.
Ooh, I like it if they're shadow figures.
So I don't know if the storm is bringing back some like residual energy from the people of the previous buildings there or what.
So it seems they only get these shadow figures and other things when there's a storm going on.
Yep.
That's interesting.
In the lobby and elevators, they have a little boy ghost. They call him Jimmy. Almost every time they hire a new front desk clerk, within their first month of work, they will tell someone that they saw a little boy out of the corner of their eye, and when they turn to look, there's no one there. One of the front desk girls had a story that there was a man checking in, and the clerk watched this little boy just kind of running around behind him and playing. And when the man left to go up to his room, he left his little boy behind. And she went to go look down towards the elevators for the man, like, hey, sir, you left your kid with me. And when she turned back around, the boy had vanished. And later that night, the man came back down to the lobby and she asked him about his son. And he told her not only did he not see any children when he was checking in, but he doesn't have any.
That would be freaky.
Very freaky. For a apparition to be so lifelike that you think it's a person is something I would love to experience.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have for you for my haunted hotels. I didn't have a bunch, just my two little haunted hotels in Galveston. Galveston, we could probably do a whole other episode on. There's so many haunted places.
There's a really cool graveyard or cemetery there that I thought about doing, but we had just done a cemetery, so I wasn't going to do the cemetery. After I found the train depot, and I was like, my God, all of this seems so familiar.
Yeah, I'm glad you finally did Jonathan's train depot. We were all anticipating it.
I know people are out there not being able to sleep at night.
I haven't slept in weeks because of it.
Yeah.
There's also a couple like haunted old mansions that I want to do in Galveston. So we'll return here someday. Well, send us your stories. Send us your haunted Galveston stories. Send us your anything about a haunted town that you want us to do. I'd love to hear of super haunted towns I don't know about.
Yeah. Tell us where we should go next.
Yeah, you can email us at opaghost@gmail.com.
Find us on Instagram at instagram.com/opaghost.
Or join our Facebook group, Ope a Ghost.
Or check out our YouTube videos. We have over 100 shorts.
Jonathan, I don't know if it was in my headphones or if it was my kids, but I just heard a really creepy giggle. I'm not even joking.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You're about to see a ghost right now.
Could you imagine? Okay, well.
Good thing those blinds are drawn. I had to pay somebody $100 if they'd be on their side of that window right now, just tapping lightly.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Thanks for listening.
Toodles.